Welcome again to Grace Believers Bible Study. What a wonderful day to be here. What a wonderful time to be living in the dispensation of the grace of God. This morning we're going to have our guest speaker, who is a loyal member of our church, the body of Christ.
Do you think so?
Yes, the body of Christ. Come on up, Scott Burns.
Yes, sir, buddy.
Give us what for?
What for?
Right.
Are you better now?
What for?
What for?
Good
morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, Scott.
Sound good? Loud enough for everybody?
Yeah.
Is it loud enough for you, Fire? I can hear it pretty good.
Well, I know you can, but. Well, can you hear him very
right
well?
Right now, I'm the most
Mary
important
Lou?
Person.
Yes, I don't want to be louder either.
No, I am the least important. I put Joe as the most important. Okay.
It's up front.
Now it's Dave. Dave's the most. Oh, it's really Irma that controls Dave.
We all.
We're eventually going to get. But everybody's doing well today?
Thank you for the rain.
Mm-hmm. Keeps the dust down. Let stuff grow.
Keep my flowers growing.
Yeah. We've had quite a period of time where we didn't get much rain. So it was good to have some. I wasn't hoping for rain today because eventually I'm going to be mowing my lawn in the rain, I guess. Let's hope it doesn't stay wet for too long. And then it can rain after that. How about that? God, that's a great deal, right? You ever make those deals with God? Just 5 more minutes so I can finish the lawn, God. Yeah, you know, most times he does take care of that. I'm going to talk about the sermon today, which really is the theme of what we talk about all the time anyway. So, but the sermon, not only in the Bible, but also in what's going on today. You've heard me say it, and I'll say it again. This book here has everything that you need, but doesn't have everything you want. What day am I going to die? It's not going to tell you that, but it'll give you an approximate, right?
You're guaranteed to die.
Yeah, guaranteed. And it will tell you that you're guaranteed to die unless you're in that one generation. Which, I believe there's a pretty good chance. I even think that Joe and Bob are going to be in that. What do you think?
Well, I'll plan or not.
Because I look at these guys and go, they look healthier than me.
Yeah, I got my bag packed.
What are these guys, like 50?
Yeah, right. Yeah, 50.
You too, Gloria. I can't forget you. You're in the same grouping, just slightly younger.
You know, it seems so funny when you think back, where did all them years go? I mean, I can remember the start of the Second World War.
That was crazy.
That was in second grade.
I read about it.
So you make a great history teacher. Actually teach what the truth is instead of the stuff they've made up. You as well.
Yeah, give them metal toys for the system. Rubber tires, toys, everything.
If you remember World War II, you know, they would fly in and out of Berlin and throw the chocolate candy down to the kids. Still here today.
Yeah. God has a reason. I don't know what it is, but I still thank him every day.
I'm extremely thankful that I was born and raised in this country. There's a lot of worse places. As bad as things are, and they're getting pretty bad, this still is one of the best places to be.
Yep. What a blessing.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, when you got people, I don't know if you saw it at Jeopardy this last week or so, where a government of the people, by the people, and for people, and not one of them knew where that came from.
Right. That is terrible.
Three contestants. you've never heard of the Gettysburg Address. I had to memorize that in school.
Me too.
Four score and...
7 years
ago. 7 years ago, our fathers walked from this continent.
Of course, you know what a score means.
True.
A lot of people know what a score means.
Where's the button?
So that's 87 years before that, 1776, they signed the Declaration of Independence. Isn't that something? So anyways, we're going to talk about discernment. We already had a little discernment already.
Yeah.
Appreciate it, appreciate it, appreciate it. Carl was thinking about it back there. Daniel's thinking about it. So we're going to start with Isaiah 5:20. And you don't have to turn around. I'm just going to read the first part of that verse. It says, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil." Does that not call where we are at today? Not in this book.
No.
Preferably not the people in this room, because I'm going with the fact that everybody's saved in here. And probably less people are saved that are listening to the video. We'll be listening to the video. But we're definitely getting close to this period. Of course, Isaiah was talking about prophecy, and we're not in prophecy, but we can certainly glean something out of that, because Paul has shared a number of things about what's going to be happening at the end of the dispensation of grace period. Webster's calls discernment, it says, the act of discerning, also the power or faculty of the mind, by which it distinguishes one thing from another, or as truth from falsehood, or virtue from vice, or acuteness of judgment, and this last one, power perceiving differences of things or ideas and their relations and tendencies. Discernment. Anybody think you got a pretty good head of discernment? Well, you're here, so I'm going to say that your discernment is much wiser than most folks. Hey, got you here. So that being said, just a quick little prayer, and we'll move on into this. God, love you, Abba Father, love you, Lord Jesus, love you, Holy Spirit. Thank you so much for the opportunity to be in a room of similar or the same believers who believe in the dispensation of the grace of God. We thank you, Jesus, that you gave the ultimate on that cross for our sins, being buried and resurrected on the third day, and the moment that believed that and trusted that to save you, we were also justified through his resurrection as if we've never sinned before. And that's just a few of the things that went on. But thank you, Lord, and let these words come out in truth, and if they're not truth, let people be able to forget or forgive those things. In Jesus' name, amen. That's not weird. 1 Timothy, verse 2, 3, and 4, these are verses that we quote all the time in here. No need to turn over there. It says that God, our Savior, who will have all men to be saved. Discerning what is required to be saved. The second part of that, after you become saved, because you have to be saved to understand the second part, is to come to the knowledge of truth. Now, how do most people get saved in this age? Now, I know this is a repeat for everybody, but kind of this is going to be the first part is discernment on the book, and then we're going to go into discernment about what's going on in the world. But most people, I don't know, is there anybody in here that got saved by just reading the Bible? No? That's what I thought I got saved on, and then for 23 years that I was under the law, that I thought I was saved. But end up coming to the right person at the right time with the right message and able to work with him one-on-one, and eventually I got it. And that's out of Romans 10 and 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, faith being the gospel of what Jesus Christ already did, his death for our sins, his burial, and his resurrection. By hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Because where is that truth out laid? In this book. In this whole book is truth. But this whole book doesn't cover what you and me believe or do in this age conversation with Gracie Dow. And I think one of the most important things about the sermon today is knowing who you're
talking
about. Oh, I thought you had, but Dave said, who are apostles? I think a lot of people are going to think this as well. If you don't know who your apostle is, how do you know what to study? If I said, Peter's my apostle, am I going to study the stuff that Paul wrote?
No.
Or am I going to study the stuff that was wrote about Peter or what Peter wrote? And that's, unfortunately, where a lot of people are at today. But today, our apostle, and has been for darn near 2,000 years, has been the Apostle Paul. We know that through Romans 11:13, where I speak to Gospels in so much as I, that of course is Paul, am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify my office. He didn't magnify himself. He magnified the office that Jesus Christ had given to him.
If you bring it up to somebody who's in the modern religion, they don't even understand what that means. You know, they have no clue. They don't want to study and understand it. And if you share it with them, they're like, oh, that's interesting, but they go back to whatever they were taught.
Oh, it's a law.
Yeah. Study it out. The truth throws them off because Satan wants them to get thrown off.
What I like to pose to those people, because there's a lot of good people that are in that boat. I mean, these are decent people that you run into. These aren't people that just piss you off. And there's some genuinely good, nice people. So I'll just try to wiggle in. And I said, so what do you think's going to happen when you die? You know, most people young don't care about that. But you start getting to a certain age, hopefully you start reflecting on that. What's going to happen when your body dies? Now, the majority of them, if you get anything out of them, they're going to go, well, it's over then. It's just over. I say, well, my book says it's not over. And it doesn't matter if you're saved or not. You're going somewhere. One place is much better than the other. And if you don't believe that, you're going to the place that's not that good. I mean, it's terrible. But I will tell you, caveat that, it is temporary, because the place they ultimately are going to send you is way worse than the first place you went to.
You've also got people that don't believe in heaven or hell.
Right.
So they're in that eternal.
I said, well, I'll come back at them. I'll say, well, what is absolute truth in your life then? What do you hang your hat on? What is your absolute truth then? I think there's a few of them, but his day's coming.
Oh, yeah.
I think we see that. You being in the news business, or at least the film business, you understand what they're doing. Mm-hmm. They're building him up to take a tumble.
A lot of people today feel the truth is relative to whatever you think. Unfortunately, a lot of people don't know why we follow that Bible. They don't even know what the Bible is about. And it proves itself over and over and over again. No, they buy all these other books instead of learning what that book is.
Even when I was taught in Michigan, when you go to biology, you know, we had the, you know, it was a monkey, it was kind of bent over, it gets taller and taller, and turns into a human being. Yeah, exactly. Ouch. And then there was the tree of life, and we never had the option of there being a creator. That just wasn't taught up there. Well, Michigan was a little bit further to the left than around here. So is it, and what would be taught is that supposedly as they got bigger, the more powerful would defeat and kill the lesser, right? Is that kind of what they do? So when you see this person that doesn't believe in heaven or hell, you go, well, you're kind of a small guy. How come you're still around? Because everything I was taught was that you're supposed to be eliminated and only the biggest and the best go out, right? And then this is the big one. And I posed this guy that that works with Vince that I'm going to hit you with one word. The only word comes from morality. Where does morality come in? If it's all about the fittest and the strongest, where does morality come from? And please, I would love to hear an answer to that. And then after that, I'd like to hear where love comes from. But definitely morality. Why would you want to do the right thing when you could do something that may profit you or put you ahead of somebody else? I said, because this book tells me all about how we got to morality. But you haven't shown me anything as to why you have morality. I've been waiting for about 2 years for that answer, by the way. I hit him every once in a while. Him and Hall and yabbity yabbity. He is one of the most decent people I've ever worked with. He is just a really decent person. He's the kind of guy who wants a neighbor. You let him watch your family. Your wallet when you're out.
Pray for him in his heart.
Yeah, I do. I say, Holy Spirit, convict him.
It's up to you.
Holy Spirit, convict him. Soften up the target area and let me know when the time is. But you know the funny thing, because I'll mention some stuff and I'll go, yeah, but you know, you can only get saved and then he'll stop. I know, by dying on the cross for your sins and being buried and resurrected on the third day. He says that. Of course, I'd give him a tract. It is sitting in front of him and some other things. But he knows that. He just doesn't believe that. At least he doesn't profess to believe it. So he's got the truth. We'll see how it goes. But anyways, discernment. His discernment is on the world and on government. Kind of being the God. Instead of letting God be the God and letting governments take care of the things that they're supposed to. So that 2 Timothy 2:15. It truly is the key to understanding the Bible during this dispensational grace of God. The thing that we've been in for the last 2,000 years, this is the key to understanding the whole thing. Study to show thyself approved unto God. Well, if you can be approved unto God, you certainly can be unapproved of God. A workman that needeth not be ashamed. So there are some workmen that work very hard and are ashamed. Rightly dividing and these key words, the word of truth. I know we've heard these things before, but I think it's good to hear these things over and over and you get them implanted, they get grounded, they're foundational. And maybe when you bump into somebody, these things will be ready to pull right out and you can share them. Because you'll have them. Well, you got them up there anyways, don't you? Come on. Ephesians 1:13. Give me some things for now. We used in the last couple words out of 12. Trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye learned the word of truth. And that is? The gospel of your salvation. That is the word of truth. That is the key word of truth and the dispensation of the grace of God. The thing about Ephesians 1:13, it gives you all the steps to be saved today. It tells you exactly what you need to do. And if you're going to start somebody, just read this right here. And then you ask questions, I'll show you where those things are in the Bible.
Sometimes I've had people say, I read it, but I don't get it. And you have to explain to them what trust is. You know, to just place your trust in your future in this. And that's it. Understand that this is how you end up in heaven, period.
Yep.
And let it go. It's hard for them. You know, it's like, well, wait a minute, I gotta do something else. I gotta, what do you mean? Believe it. It's very interesting, but I've had that conversation with many people.
When you go to your house and you lock the door and get ready to sleep, do you trust your wife's not gonna take you out?
Mostly.
Now, I know there's a few people that have to worry about it. I know a lot of people use the chair analogy, and that's good. I mean, when you sit down, you don't even think twice. And I have been on a few chairs that have busted when I was sitting back. When I was in Korea, I was studying up for a master's grade. And that dang thing just cut out. And I was in the air. The parts of the chair went this way. And I was in the air, it would seem like, for several minutes. And then, and she was, are you all right? She was just laughing and laughing and laughing.
Are you okay?
Well, my pride wasn't going to share anything at that point. But, you know, I wouldn't save the time, so I guess I deserved that shot. I did make promotion that cycle, though. So it did work, those 2 weeks and that chair cutting out like that.
And we started going to church a little.
We did. I wasn't saved, but it was the start. It was the pulling, the tugging on the heart. It's got to start somewhere, so. We're still in Ephesians 1 and 13. The gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Where is Jim at when I need him right now? That's the lead in to him going. And how about the, hi Jim. Well, I guess we're not going over to his house later. And 14, which is one of Joe's favorite things, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. That is the rapture. That's where you're going to get pulled up there and you're going to get your brand new body. Or those of us that are here getting pulled up are going to get it in transition to me to him. Wouldn't that be cool? It says in a blink of an eye over there at the 1 Corinthians 15. In a blink of an eye, you're indestructible. It'll become indestructible and incorruptible. Isn't that awesome?
It's important that we bask in that. Because, you know, you just don't think about it, you're busy doing this thing. Yeah, slow down and look at where your future is going and how wonderful it is. And no matter what kind of day you've had, that will turn you around if you generally look at it.
And I've said this before, and I'll say it over and over and over again. I could drop dead at this exact moment, and I know absolutely where I am going. Mm-hmm. Absent from the body is present with the Lord. That was Paul. And you know what? Paul had an example because in Acts 14, 19, he had an out-of-body experience. He got stoned to death and took a trip up to the third heaven. Mm-hmm. Now, we'll debate whether he saw anything, but he certainly heard things that he wasn't allowed to talk about. Mm-hmm. And he came back, and he knew quite a bit more. Mm-hmm. He actually went to the third heaven, came back, went back into his body that was stoned to death and was alive again. And you know what he did? Instead of getting out of that town, he ran right back in there. And they spent some more time. And then they left the next day. Take a look at it. Acts 14, 19, and 20.
No,
get a chance.
No fear. No, no, they didn't get the job done.
The guy was zealous initially, which was the wrong thing, but he thought it was the right thing. He was zealous for that, but once he found out what the truth was, he turned 180 and got on the right side. I mean, he got up, and as soon as, you know, he got his sight back and had a little something to eat, he was out there preaching that Jesus Christ was the Son of God in Damascus, and he knew there were the people that were going to hate him, and then there were the people that he had gone out and convicted and dragged and taken down to prison. There wasn't a whole lot of people there that dug him up there in Damascus. But yet he was teaching that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. He was on fire.
Fire!
That sounded funny. All right, well, let's go over that gospel of our salvation. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. Well, this is a rabbit trail. There was a funny YouTube where this lady came on and she's going, I'm on fight side. After getting shot, I guess she had to be there, but it was really entertaining. And I thought to myself, I hope she does all right. 15, 1 through 4, probably your favorite verses. No? Did you tell us where your hubby was at today? Oh. Little headache or... Oh. That's a good place to set. It's okay to bring food and be comfortable on there, I guess. Okay, that sounds a little funny, didn't it? Everybody, let's get back to teaching.
Well, I was saying, well, quick, catch it, girl.
Honey, just come on up here and wrench me back. Verse 1. Moreover, brethren, you've heard me say it before, he always writes to believers. Always. And when you understand that what he's talking about is to believers, you get the idea, you know, the who wrote it, who did he write it to, what were the circumstances, what was the time frame around that, and who was he writing it to? And I may have said that twice. He's writing it to believers. He says, I, that's Paul, declaring to you the gospel which I preach unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand. So you heard it, and now you stand in it, by which also ye are saved. Well, it's telling you everything you need to know here in one spot. If ye keep in memory what I preach unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. I like 1 and 2 because it sets up the parameters where you're going from hearing it to actually trusting it. That belief level there is trust, by the way. 3:4, I deliver unto you first of all that which I received out of Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, died on that cross for my sake. Okay, I put a few words in there. It still means the same thing. Could you imagine that? Him crawling up on that cross by faith after living a perfect life and dying for your sins. And oh yeah, he knew that he was going to die on that cross for your sins. Maybe like your sins, my sins, your sins, your sins.
Everyone.
He knew the reason why he was up there. And it wouldn't surprise me if everybody's face just went, you know, he saw everybody's face as that was happening. I know it didn't say that, but he knew that he died for everybody past, present, and future will be born on this planet. That he was buried for me, and then he rose again the third day for me, according to the scriptures. Good? I say personalize it. Make it yours. And even when you're trying to sell it to some other folks, which I mean, this should sell itself, but personalize it. It's mine. That's why if I die today, absent from the body, I am present with Jesus Christ. Paul said, but if I'm in the body, I'm not with the Lord. 1 Corinthians, or 2 Corinthians 5, 6, 7, 8, somewhere in that area. I may be off on it too. Romans 4 and 25, another familiar verse here. Who, that being Jesus Christ, was delivered for our offenses, that's him going up on the cross, and was raised again for our justification. Now, justification is just not eliminating your sin issues. That's another notch. You know, you can have your sins paid for, but there's memory of that sin. Justification is removing every memory of those past, present, and future sins. Well, how can you take away a memory that hasn't happened yet? That's what justification is. Your records have been expunged. Past, present, and future. And God the Father looks down. Daniel, do you believe? Do you believe? Daniel, do you believe that? What saves you? What is going to send you to heaven, Daniel? I don't want to put you on the spot. Faith.
That.
No, faith in what?
What you did on that day of the cross. You took care of it. You know, after that, right there.
Carried your sins on the cross. He was buried.
Right,
he was buried, and what else happened?
He went down and made a couple of fried things and probably fixed it a little bit.
I'm sure there was some discussions that he got to listen to.
And, yeah, I don't even know I got something to talk to him about.
So what happened on the third day?
He popped back up talking to the guy. Guess what, fellas?
Is that just as important? important and send Diane on the cross? Absolutely. You
it
can't,
is,
you
but
can't,
not that important what he
you,
did on the
you,
cross.
You can't have one with it. You know, I can believe that Jesus Christ died for me on the cross. But if I don't believe that he was resurrected, you know what I am?
Well, of course. Yeah.
I'm dead in my sins.
Yeah.
He could have lived a sinful life, gone to the cross, and said, I'm going to die for everybody, and was resurrected. You know what? I'm going to die in my sins. It had to be perfect life, follow the law, had to die on that cross for our sins, buried, and then be resurrected. It has to be all those parts. It has to be all. And that's, but it doesn't involve you doing any extra work. It's a belief mechanism. I believe it. And I trust it. And when I get to that trust point, yeah, I don't know what else is in this book. I haven't gotten there yet. But you got to have that part first. That's discernment. You got to get that part first. Because the unbeliever, he doesn't believe that. So the Spirit isn't helping him out. He's not even going to get close to this book.
They're afraid.
So they're not understanding the truth.
I mean, as an unbeliever, I want to watch the Ten Commandments because that's kind of cool.
Yourself that are very uncomfortable. That's what the truth does. You got to open up doors. You got to pull the phone deep down. You got to be honest with yourself. Be honest with yourself. It's the hardest individual to be honest with.
But even with that, guess what? Guess what? You don't even have to go admit that to Jesus Christ. All you got to do is believe what he did was enough.
That's wrong with people.
And you say, okay, you're a baby murderer, you robbed the bank, or you did this and that.
Jeffrey Dahmer.
But you know, even Jeff, we'll use your example, Jeffrey Dahmer, I'm going to get you this. You know, if he was to turn around his life and believe that Jesus Christ died for his sins,
he
buried and resurrected on the third day, he's going to be next to me in heaven. Hard to believe it. Well, I'm going. There's Adolf Hitler and there's Fauci. I'm on the fence. Who's worse? Okay, that was for free. Mary Lou, I'm sorry.
The only unforgivable sin is discrediting in the Holy Spirit.
No, there's no.
That was. If you look, and that's in Matthew 12, 31 and 32, or is it 44? But that was applicable to those that were under the law, under the. Pop over to Ephesians 4:30. Let's see what it says there. Ephesians 4:30. And once you get there, if you can read it, I would appreciate that. So can I grieve the Holy Spirit?
Yeah.
And still go to heaven?
Of course.
Discernment.
Right.
That was for the folks that were under the law. They're under the kingdom gospel. We're under the dispensation of grace of God.
Yeah.
So you can bad mouth the Holy Spirit. I mean, I don't
want to do it.
He's in your corner. I mean, he's sitting there. He's dwelling in you. He's got you sealed until the.
He never said you all go to hell.
So basically, you can do anything and everything if you still believe. Guess where you're going? That's a hard pill to swallow. I know it was for me early on, but that's the way that God set it up in this dispensation.
Isn't he gracious? Is all I got. Isn't he gracious?
But you know, most
giving, people. That's what he's showing us. Hey, I'll take
you. But you know, most people.
He made us.
Most people, when they get that, will turn in to better people. Or less felt like to say better citizens.
In the end, doesn't it?
You know, we all grow at different rates, right?
Sure.
Yeah. Let me clear that frog out of there.
We want to try to be more like him. That way, if we kind of be more like him, it helps us out.
Okay.
In the end.
Now, Mary Lou had her hand up about a minute or two ago. Do you still have your thought? Are you ready to go too far?
Yes, but there was a step that he had yet to do. Remember when he appeared to Mary Magdalene and he said, touch me not.
Touch me not.
Because I have yet to sin to my Father.
That's right.
And in other words, there must have been still the sins of the world still on Jesus because he had to, or were they all gone?
If
somehow
that,
he had to ascend to the Father.
If,
I guess they were all gone. If they were all gone, they were clean, they were...
Every single sin at that point had been
cut away.
Without hands and left in hell. But he came up, but the first duty was that he had to go up and tell the Father that it's complete. And then once it was complete, he's coming back. He was going to spend 40 days and 40 nights. And then 10 days before Pentecost, he was going up there permanently to the right hand of the Father.
So when we think about the mercy seat in Jewish terms, it's like the Father is in heaven and the mercy seat is in heaven. And Jesus has performed the perfect sacrifice. And now he's up in heaven, presented before the Father.
He did that right after he was resurrected. Yes, he had a short conversation.
He appeared before the Father.
Yes.
Clean and untouched.
Understand.
Perfect.
And understand, he did that.
But we weren't really told why, were we? I mean, he said, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. But he never did actually say why.
Remember what I said earlier? This book has everything you need to know, but doesn't have everything you want to know. You can learn more as you dig in deeper and go into some of the stuff that's in the Old Testament. But there's just some questions that we're not going to get answered. But just understand part of what he did, because not only was it for Israel, but it was for the rest of the world and for this dispensation. But part of that was to take and show them, I've done it, my blood's been spilled, I've done what was requested. It's done, it's finished. As he said, it is finished.
Probably, not in the book, but I think he had to take his blood up, put it in the mercy seat in heaven.
Well,
deposit it.
Well, we've had these discussions in here before, and really, his blood really had spilled out on the ground. But he came up and said, look, Father, I had done what was necessary.
More powerful than water.
And I know Hebrews kind of alludes to that, but really, in earnest, he understood it was his blood that was spilled.
Yes.
And that he had to go up and say, hey, look, did God in heaven already know that? Of course he did. But that was a requirement for him to go up there and say, I have done what was needed. I have completed, not my will, but your will be done. When he was asking for the cup to be taken away from him.
I think, this is all conjecture, of course, that he didn't want to be touched by her because he didn't want the sin of the world to address her again at that point until he got up.
That's a good point.
And guess what? 200 years from now, I'll have this answer for you.
I think we're all going to be happy to be up there. There's certainly not going to be any boasting up there. It'll be no time. It's going to last forever. Have you ever bumped into somebody who said, man, I am the greatest thing since sliced bread. Look at me. I can fix anything. I can make anything. Is that you, Dave?
Sure.
Oh. Well, Dave is pretty good down here. I'll give him that. But he won't be boasting about that when he gets up to heaven. Because we didn't do anything. All it got to is we either believed it or we didn't believe it. And that's discernment right there.
That's hard for people, but that's it.
I can't do a single thing. Now, after I'm saved, we are designed for good works.
But those good works have no benefit as far as your salvation. Right?
None.
They just have the benefit of reflecting the love of God in the world.
None.
You can't do enough to get it by your way into heaven. That's the truth of it. The more I do, the better off.
The proof of stuff here is
better to wear than no.
It does.
The belief, the
Absolutely.
Just like Christ ascended up into heaven, we are going to be doing the same. We're going to be ascending up into heaven. And, you know, we are death, burial, and our resurrection.
That's because we're already in the body of Christ. Mm-hmm. When we die, that's where the body of Christ is. Boom.
There you go.
We're there.
Wait, I'm going to write a few scriptures down, and we're going to play a little game. I'm not even going close to what I thought I was going to be teaching, but, you know, that's just how it goes.
A good discussion.
A little bit of,
Byron might not approve, but fun.
And feel free to look these up if you like.
Conflict there on the first two. Uh-oh. We're talking about a religion now. Put number two down your throat.
I didn't want to get this one while I'm doing how. Okay.
Be kind, there's plenty of people.
Is there, can I put one more and just to be able to see it?
Okay.
I forgot I used these glasses.
Listen, this week they're all going. I gotta get some new glasses. They're all going bad. I mean, this point, yeah. There's nothing wrong with your eyes. My teeth are falling out. My eyes are going bad. You know, I might forget that.
Biblical discernment. Hey, Romans 6:23, 1 John 1:9. Colossians 2:13-14, Romans 4:25, and James 2:24. Anybody want to read Romans 6:23? If not, I can get it.
You got it right here.
Got it.
For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Is that under grace or is it under law? Awesome. 1 John 1:9, anybody?
If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Something unique. There's two things in my psyche. This used to be one of my favorite verses, and now it's one of the verses I hate the most. Anybody want to, where do you think that one fits? This was preached on this morning while we were getting ready. 30 full minutes on how this applied to us. And boy, he did everything, backflips, cartwheels, a whole bit. Colossians 2:13, just 13 would be great. Colossians 2:13.
And you being dead in your sins and your uncircumcision of the flesh, hath he quickened together with him, and he forgiven you all trespasses.
Grace or law?
They're all underlined.
Grace?
Grace.
All right. How about Romans 4:25, one of our favorite verses in here? Did EC come up with this or did you, Byron? 4:25. Romans 4:25. Who's you?
Yeah.
Oh, look at you. Can you pat yourself on the back? You got that Romans 4:25?
Who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification.
Law or grace?
Grace.
Very good.
For sure. What a
James 2:24. Anybody?
There we go. You see then how that by the works of man is justified and not by faith only.
Grace or the law? You know what you guys just showed me? Discernment of the scriptures. Mm-hmm. Now, we didn't get into the world, and we're running out of time. It, you know, kind of took a different direction, and that's great. So, anybody have any other questions?
We need to be very aware of how lucky we are to be able to study here.
Yes.
Not be confused by the world of religion.
So to be saved today, this is Byron's thing, right? Crucified, buried, resurrected, justified. You know how much that you guys did? Did I? He was crucified, died for sins. He was buried, resurrected on the.
You're gonna say crucified, buried,
okay.
And resurrected.
Okay. Well, she's not. Very good. Very good.
Did you see the 2x4 come by? But she's absolutely right. I think that's twice I've told today she was right about something.
I'm not on the roll here.
This is okay.
Yeah.
Do you remember what the first thing was?
Let's fix it.
Okay. But Jesus Christ did every bit of that.
Yeah.
We did none of that. But once we believe this and trust this as the only way to get to heaven, you're going to heaven.
Yeah.
Not by any good works you've done or thought you've done.
The power of the Lord,
this is a great time to be alive. It's the easiest way to get to heaven. I'm telling you, there's some things going on in our world, and I think there's some things that Paul told us were going to happen, and we're seeing those alignments. And I guess I'll get to teach that portion of it next week. Anything else, Byron? You want to add anything?
Let's take a break.
All right. Thank you.